end of each hour is just to remind you that both hours of this show are saved each week to my personal blog space for the show at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. Try to get that uploaded very shortly after I get home. So usually by 7 o'clock, I'm able to get that done. And I hope you can stay tuned now. And in fact, I should just welcome you. Welcome to the second hour of today's show. It is about half a minute after 5 o'clock at this point. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC. In case you just tuned in, we are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And now the third session of a three, what turned out to be a three-week project. I am playing from a four CD set of Red Poetry, and it's called Poetry on Record, 98 Poets Read Their Work, 1888 to 2006. And in a selection of, I'll just do this because I told you about the blog space. So if you're at all interested in something like that and going back to here, I will repeat the list of people for those who just happen to tune in now. Poets that you would have heard in the first hour were Adrian Lewis, Anne Waldman, Carolyn Forché, Deborah Garrison, Elise Passion, Elizabeth Alexander, James Tate, Joy Harjo, Juan Felipe Herrera, Lee Young Lee, and Lucy Tapahanso. Coming up in this hour, again, from that a selection from that fourth disc of in that set, you're going to hear readings by eight poets, and they will be Luis Rodriguez, Marilyn Chin, Pedro Pietri, Peter Balakian, Rita Dove, Sharon Olds, Vijay Shashadri, and Yusef Kamanyaka. Again, there'll be music this hour as well, like there was. And again, what I will be doing is, short groups of poets, and I will announce who you're, what you're going to hear. I will announce the, I will tell you who the poet is and the title of the poem, because again, sometimes the poets don't announce, or maybe it just was announced wherever they were, but it wasn't recorded. But I will do announce the title of the poem they're going to read as well. I think these are each, they're all one poem each, so I don't have to say any more whether they're one or two or whatever. But anyway, the first poem, the first poet you're going to hear is Luis Rodriguez with The Concrete River, then Marilyn Chin with The Floral Apron, Pedro Pietri with Puerto Rican Obituary. So let's go ahead and just jump into that again. And again, thanks for tuning in.
The Concrete River. We sink into the dust, Baba and me, beneath brush of prickly leaves, ivy strangling trees, singing our last rites of locura, homeboys worshipping God fumes out of spray cans. Our backs press up against a corrugated steel fence along the dried banks of a concrete river. Spray-painted outpourings on walls offer a chaos of color for the eyes, home for now. Hidden in weeds, furnished with stained mattresses and plastic milk crates. Wood planks thrust into thick branches serves as roof. The door is a torn cloth curtain knocked before entering. Home for now, sandwiched in between the maddening days. We aim spray into paper bags, sucker them, take deep breaths. An echo of steel sounds grates the sky. Home for now, along an urban spawn stream of muck, we gargle in the technicolor synthesized madness. This river, this concrete river, becomes a steaming, bubbling snake of water, pouring over nightmares of wakefulness, pouring out a rush of birds, a flow of clear liquid on a cloudless day. not like the black oil stains we lie in, not like the factory air engulfing us, not this plastic death in a can. Sun rays dance on the surface, gray fish fidget below the sheen, and us looking like Huckleberry Finns, Tom Sawyers with stick fishing bows as dew drips off low branches as if it were Earth's breast milk. Oh, we should be novas of our born days. We should be scraping wet dirt with calloused toes. We should be flowering petals, playing ball. Soon water fish do wane into a pulsating whiteness. I enter a tunnel circle, swimming to a glare of lights. Family and friends beckon me. I want to be there in perpetual dreaming, in the din of exquisite screams. I want to know this mother comfort surging through me. I am a sliver of blazing ember entering a womb of brightness. I am a hovering specter shedding scarred flesh. I am a clown sneaking out of a painted mouth in the sky. I am your son, Ama, seeking the security of shadows, fleeing weary eyes, bursting brown behind a sewing machine. I am your brother, the one you threw off rooftops, tore into with rage, the one you visited, a rag of a boy in a hospital bed ruptured. I am friend of books, prey of cops, lover of the body of women selling hamburgers and tacos at the P&G burger stand. I welcome this heavy shroud. I want to be buried in it, to be sculptured marble in craftier hands. Soon an electrified hum sinks teeth into brain, then claws surround me, pull at me, back to the dust, to the concrete river. Let me go, to stay entangled in this mesh of barbed serenity, but over me is a face, mouth breathing back life. I feel the gush of air, the pebbles and debris beneath me. Give me the bag, man, I slur. No way, you died, man, Baba said. You stopped breathing and died. I have to go back. You don't understand. I try to get up to reach the sky, all for the lights, for this horror of a sun, to blind me, to entice me to burn. Come back. Let me swing in delight to the haunting now, to pierce colors of virgin skies, not here along a concrete river, but there, licked by tongues of flame.
The woman wore a floral apron around her neck. That woman from my mother's village with a sharp cleaver in her hand. She said, what shall we cook tonight? Perhaps these six tiny squid lined up so perfectly on the block. She wiped her hand on the apron, pierced the blade into the first. There was no resistance, no blood, only cartilage, soft as a child's nose. Alas, iota of ink made us wince. Suddenly, the aroma of ginger and scallion fogged our senses, and we absolved her for that moment's barbarism. Then she, an elder of the tribe, without formal headdress, without elegance, deigned to teach the younger about the Asian plight. And although we have traveled far, we must never forget that primal lesson on patience, courage, forbearance, on how to love squid despite squid, how to honor the village, the tribe, that floral apron.
Puerto Rican obituary. They worked. They were always on time. They were never late. They never spoke back when they were insulted. They worked. They never took days off that were not on the calendar. They never went on strike without permission. They worked 10 days a week and were only paid for 5. They worked. They worked. They worked and they died. They died broke. They died owing. They died never knowing what the front entrance of the First National City Bank looks like. Juan, Miguel, Milagros, Olga, Manuel, all died yesterday, today, and will die again tomorrow, passing their bill collectors on to the next of kin. All die waiting for the Garden of Eden to open up again, under a new management. All die dreaming about America, waking them up in the middle of the night, screaming, Mira, mira, your name is on the winning lottery ticket for $100,000. Or die hating the grocery stores that sold them make-believe steak and bulletproof rice and beans. Or die waiting, dreaming, and hating. Dead Puerto Ricans who never knew they were Puerto Ricans, who never took a coffee break from the Ten Commandments to kill, kill, kill the landlords of their crack skulls and communicate with their Latino souls. Juan, Miguel, Milagros, Olga, Manuel, from the nervous breakdown streets where the mice live like millionaires and the people do not live at all, are dead and were never alive. Juan died waiting for his number to hit. Miguel died waiting for the welfare check to come and go and come again. Milagros died waiting for her 10 children to grow up and work so she could quit working. Olga died waiting for a $5 raise. Manuel died waiting for his supervisor to drop dead so he could get a promotion. It's a long ride from Spanish Harlem to Long Island Cemetery where they were buried. First the train and then the bus and the cocos for lunch and the flowers that will be stolen when visiting hours are over. Is very expensive, is very expensive, but they understand. Their parents understood. Is a long non-profit ride from Spanish Harlem to Long Island Cemetery. Juan, Miguel, Milagros, Olga, Manuel all died yesterday, today, and will die again tomorrow, dreaming, dreaming about Queens, clean-cut, lily-white neighborhood, Puerto Rican-less scene, $30,000 home, the first Spix on the block, proud to belong to a community of gringos who want them lynched, proud to be a long distance away from the sacred phrase, ¿Qué pasa? These dreams, these empty dreams from the make-believe bedrooms their parents left them are the after effects of television programs about the ideal white American family with black maids and Latino janitors who are well-trained to make everyone and their bill collectors laugh at them and the people they represent. Juan died dreaming about a new car. Miguel died dreaming about new anti-poverty programs. Milagros died dreaming about a trip to Puerto Rico. Olga died dreaming about real jewelry. Manuel died dreaming about the Irish sweepstakes. They all died like a hero sandwich dies in the Garment District at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Social security number to ashes, union dues to dust. They knew they were born to weep and keep the morticians employed as long as they pledge allegiance to the flag that wants them destroyed. They saw their names listed in the telephone directory of destruction. They were trained to turn the other cheek by newspapers that misspelled, mispronounced, and misunderstood their names and celebrated when death came and stole their final laundry ticket.
And you just heard poems by Luisa Rodriguez, Marilyn Chin, and then Pedro Pietri. I'm going to go ahead and pull up the next song that I'm going to offer. And this one I will do like I usually do and just credit it after. And I think I've got the right track up, so let's go ahead. Here we go. ¶¶ You just heard Moby. That was off of his 1995 album called Everything Is Wrong. That was his fourth studio album, I believe. And the song on it was called Into the Blue. It also featured vocalist Mimi Gazy, who had, I believe, maybe appeared a few times on some of his on other albums, and maybe even on that one. I'd have to look it up, but quite possibly. I know I've seen her name before, so I'm guessing on some of his other albums as well. And I'm trying to queue up here the next set. We're going to jump back into Poetry on Record, Disc 4. And the last selection of poets, this was good. They're going to be five this time. And get myself queued up right here. You're going to hear, and again with the title, The History of Armenia, recited by Peter Balakian, and then Rita Dove with Parsley, Sharon Olds' poem Wonder, Vijay Seshadri with The Long Meadow, and then Yusef Kamanyaka with a poem called Facing It. Here we go.
The History of Armenia. Last night, my grandmother returned in her brown dress, standing on Oriton Parkway, where we used to walk and watch the highway being dug out. She stood against a backdrop of steam hammers and bulldozers, a bag of fruit in her hand, the wind blowing through her eyes. I was running toward her in a drizzle with the morning paper. When I told her I was hungry, she said, "In the grocery store, a man is standing to his ankles in blood. The babies in East Orange have disappeared, maybe eaten by the machinery on this long road." When I asked for my mother, she said, "Gone, all gone." The girls went for soda. Maybe the Coke was bad, the candy sour. This morning the beds are empty, water off, toilets dry. When I went to the garden for squash, only stump was there. When I went to clip parsley, only a hole. We walked past piles of gray cinder and cement trucks. There were no men. She said, "Grandpa left in the morning, in the dark. He had pants to press for the firemen of East Orange. They called him in the middle of night. West Orange was burning. Bloomfield and Newark were gone." One woman carried the arms of her child to East Orange last night and fell on her uncle's stoop. Two boys came with the skin of their legs in their pockets and turned themselves in to local officials. This morning, sun is red and spreading. "If I go to sleep tonight," she said, "the ceiling will open and bodies will fall from clouds. Yavri, where is the angel without sword? Yavri, where is the angel without six fingers and a missing leg? The angel with the news that the water will be clear and have fish?" Grandpa is pressing pants. They came for him before the birds were up. He left without shoes or tie, shirt or suspenders. It was quiet. The birds were still sleeping.
Parsley, the cane fields. There is a parrot imitating spring in the palace, its feathers parsley green. Out of the swamp the cane appears to haunt us, and we cut it down. El General searches for a word. He is all the world there is. Like a parrot imitating spring, we lie down screaming as rain punches through and we come up green. We cannot speak an R. Out of the swamp the cane appears, and then the mountain we call in whispers, Catalina. The children gnaw their teeth to arrowheads. There is a parrot imitating spring. El General has found his word, Perejil. Who says it lives. He laughs, teeth shining out of the swamp. The cane appears in our dreams, lashed by wind and streaming. And we lie down. For every drop of blood, there is a parrot imitating spring. Out of the swamp, the cane appears. The Palace. The word the general's chosen is parsley. It is fall, when thoughts turn to love and death. The general thinks of his mother, how she died in the fall, and he planted her walking cane at the grave, and it flowered, each spring stolidly forming four star blossoms. The general pulls on his boots. He stomps to her room in the palace, the one without curtains, the one with a parrot in a brass ring. As he paces, he wonders, who can I kill today? And for a moment, the little knot of screams is still. The parrot, who has traveled all the way from Australia in an ivory cage, is coy as a widow, practicing spring. Ever since the morning his mother collapsed in the kitchen while baking skull-shaped candies for the Day of the Dead, the general has hated sweets. He orders pastries brought up for the bird. They arrive dusted with sugar on a bed of lace. The knot in his throat starts to twitch. He sees his boots the first day in battle, splashed with mud and urine, as a soldier falls at his feet, amazed how stupid he looked at the sound of artillery. I never thought it would sing, the soldier said, and died. Now the general sees the fields of sugar cane, lashed by rain and streaming. He sees his mother's smile, the teeth gnawed to arrowheads. He hears the Haitians sing without R's as they swing the great machetes. Catalina, they sing. Catalina, mi madre, mi amor e muerte. God knows his mother was no stupid woman. She could roll an R like a queen. Even a parrot can roll an R. In the bare room, the bright feathers arch in a parody of greenery as the last pale crumbs disappear under the blackened tongue. Someone calls out his name in a voice so like his mother's, a startled tear splashes the tip of his right boot. My mother, my love in death. The general remembers the tiny green sprigs men of his village wore in their capes to honor the birth of a son. He will order many this time to be killed for a single beautiful word.
Wonder. When she calls to tell me my father is dying today or tomorrow, I walk down the hall and feel that my mouth has fallen open and my eyes are staring. The planet of his head swam above my crib. I did not understand it. His body came toward me in the lake over the agates, the hair of his chest lifting like root hairs. I saw it, and I did not understand it. He lay behind beveled glass doors, beside the cut crystal decanter, its future shards in upright bound sheaves. He sat by his pool, not meeting our eyes, his irises made of some boiled-down, viscous, satiny matter, undiscovered. When he sickened, he began to turn to us. When he sank down, he shined. I lowered my mouth to the glistening terrene of his face, and he tilted himself toward me, a dazzling meteor dropping down into the crib. And now he is going to die. I walk down the hall face to face with it, as if it were a great heat. I feel like one of the shepherd children when the star came down onto the roof. But I'm used to it. I stand in familiar astonishment. I would have traded places with anyone raised on love. But how would anyone raised on love bear this death?
This is Vijay Seshadri, and this poem is based on an incident much distorted by me from the Mahabharata, which is a Sanskrit epic poem, nine times the volume of the Iliad and the Odyssey combined, and it's called The Long Meadow. Near the end of one of the old poems, the Sun of Righteousness, the source of virtue and civility, on whose back the kingdom is carried, as on the back of the tortoise the earth is carried, passes into the next world. The wood is dark, the wood is dark, and on the other side of the wood the sea is shallow, warm, endless. In and around it there is no threat of life. So little is the atmosphere charged with possibility that he might as well be wading through a flooded basement. He wades for what seems like forever, and never stops to rest in the shade of the metal rain trees, springing out of the water at fixed intervals. Time, though endless, is also short, so he wades on until he walks out of the sea and into the mountains, where he burns on the windward slopes and freezes in the valleys. After unendurable struggles, he finally arrives at the celestial realm. The god waits there for him. The god invites him to enter. But looking through the glowing portal, he sees on that happy plain not those he thinks wait eagerly for him, his beloved, his brothers, his companions in war and exile, all long since dead and gone, but sitting pretty and enjoying the gorgeous sunset, his cousin and bitter enemy, the cause of that war, that exile, whose arrogance and vicious indolence plunged the world into grief. The god informs him that yes, those he loved have been carried down the river of fire. Their thirst for justice offended the cosmic powers, who are jealous of justice. In their place in the celestial realm, called Alaukika in the ancient texts, the breaker of faith is now glorified. He, at least, acted in keeping with his nature. Who has not felt a little of the despair the Son of Righteousness now feels, staring wildly around him? The god watches, not without compassion and a certain wonder. This is the final illusion, the one to which all the others lead. He has to pierce through it himself, without divine assistance. He will take a long time about it, with only his dog to keep him company, the mongrel dog celebrated down the millennia, who has waited with him, shivered and burned with him, and never abandoned him to his loneliness. That dog bears a slight resemblance to my dog, a skinny, restless, needy, overprotective mutt who was rescued from a crack house by Suzanne. On weekends, and when I can shake free during the week, I take her to the long meadow in Prospect Park, where dogs are allowed off the leash in the early morning. She's gray-muzzled and old now, but you can't tell that by the way she runs.
Hiding inside the black granite, I said I wouldn't, damn it. No tears. I'm stone. I'm flesh. My clouded reflection eyes me like a bird of prey. The profile of night slanted against morning, I turn this way. The stone lets me go. I turn that way. I'm inside the Vietnam Veterans Memorial again, depending on the light to make a difference. I go down to 58,022 names, half expecting to find my own in letters like smoke. I touch the name Andrew Johnson. I see the booby trap's white flash, name shimmer on a woman's blouse, but when she walks away, the name stay on the wall. Breaststrokes flash, a redbird's wings cutting across my stare, the sky, a plane in the sky, a white vet's image floats closer to me, then his eyes look through mine. I'm a wonder. He's lost his right arm inside the stone and the black mirror. A woman's trying to erase names. No, she's brushing a boy's hair.
And you just heard poems, a selection of poems from the 4-CD set called Poetry on Record, and this was from Disc 4. You just heard Peter Balakian, Rita Dove, Sharon Olds, Vijay Seshadri, and Yusef Kamanyaka. And I'm going to go ahead and include another song here now, and that because that finishes up the poets that I had, and just dropped my CD. So let me see if I can gather it back up. I will say you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. And the disc has gone all the way under, go figure, Murphy's Law. Here we go. Hopefully I didn't ruin it. So let's do this. Now I'm back. I was farther away from the mic than I should have been, but I couldn't avoid that. So my apologies. And coming up, I will go ahead and do the usual and just credit the musician after. Okay, here we go.
And then you're dreams to keep till sunrise.
And you just heard Robin Trower. That was a song off of his, and I think this was his first album. Is that right? I think I wrote it down here. Yeah, his first studio album was called, after having left Procol Harum, and this came out in 1973, the song was called Ballerina. I'm going to actually play one more song off of that album, too, to take us out of here today. But first, I will say you heard in this hour, again, from the 40 set of poems called Poetry on Record, 98 poets read their work, 1888 through 2006. In this hour, in a selection from Disc 4, you heard readings by Luis Rodriguez, Marilyn Chin, Pedro Pietre, Peter Balakian, Rita Dove, Sharon Olds, Vijay Seshadri, and Yusef Kamanyaka. And I suppose I should do this, and I will be right back. How's that?
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licked in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Saltlicht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, hey, hey! You want to kick the summer heat and get a nice treat? Don't hesitate to make a date to visit Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen food to prepare at home. Pop into the shop Monday through Sunday between 8 to 6 at 204 Berry Street. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at oldfarmff to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
And welcome back. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And I want to thank you for having tuned into the show today. We've still got a fair amount of time left here, and I think I'm going to share. There are quite a few events coming up, and if I have time, then I will move into some calls for submissions to some of them. Still have a bit of a deadline left, but it's out there a ways. So maybe I can share some of those as well. I'm trying to check my time here and see what I have time for. And 6:19. Okay, let's go ahead and do this. Coming up here in Kingston, there's a big launch event coming up this coming Wednesday, June 10th. Holly Gattery with The Unraveling of and Michael Mirola. How about this? Marcy Geisbricht. Geisbricht with A Little Feral. Allison Gadsday with Breathing is How Some People Stay Alive. Guy Alston with the Character Actors Convention, and Brent Van Staldenen with the Peace Thieves, and Jennifer Lovegrove with the Tinder Sonnets. There's going to be a great night of poetry here. This is going to be happening at Novel Idea on Wednesday evening. Also coming up, I mention it because I... a lot of times I'll do calls that are events that are out of town, but Poetry Night at Station Gallery is coming up in at Station Gallery in Whitby. That's at 1450 Henry Street. Let's do that again. Station Gallery, 1450 Henry Street in Whitby. That, too, is happening Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, June 10th, from 7 to 9 p.m. Reading that night will be Catherine Graham, Jim Johnstone, Felicity Sidnell Reed, David Stones, Banu Zan, and then I'm also one of the poets there. That is put on, the host is Lisa Reynolds and the Durham Region Branch Manager of the Ontario Poetry Society. I should mention, too, that the first one that I mentioned happening here in Kingston does start at 7 o'clock. I think I did say that the one also in Whitby runs from 7 to 9 p.m. There is also, you need tickets. It's free in person, it says, but they have a limit, a capacity in Whitby. So you can go to Eventbrite. There's a Facebook page, several Facebook pages probably, but for Poetry Night at Station Gallery, it has the Zoom. You can get Zoom tickets through Eventbrite, and you can find out how to do that on Facebook. So just look for Poetry Night at Station Gallery. And then coming up, there's Stuart Ross will be coming to town the Monday, June 15th, so a week from Monday. He will be bringing with him Jamie Forsyth and Lisa Fishman. Both will be launching their books that evening at Novel Idea. There is an event page for this as well in Facebook if you go there. So again, Novel Idea, as mentioned, I think already, 156 Princess Street here in Kingston, Monday, June 15th, 7 p.m. I will also be reading that evening a short set as well. And then the following night, Quirks of Human Nature. It's a third Tuesday night of the month series that's put on by Deb Shermans and Meg Freer. Featured poet that evening will be Toronto poet Elena Wolf coming in. Music Euro Cafe duo Ted and Andrea Layton. And then bonus poets Elizabeth Green and Emily Wright. And I think I'm getting to the point where I probably should just start to close out the show. I do want to thank all of you for having tuned in today. Let's see if I'm set here for what I'm going to do next. I will mention that I hope you can stay tuned to the top of the hour for Saltwater Music, East Coast music hosted by Rob Carnell. And coming up next week, I'm not sure what I'll have on the air next week here. I hope you have a great week. The reminder, the one thing I didn't do is let you know that every week I upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years, and I usually get that done at about 7 o'clock shortly after I get home. And I hope you have a great week. Do please stay tuned to the top of the hour for Rob Carnell to take us there. I'm going to go back to Robin Trower again and off of the same album, and this is a song called Daydream.
and the birds sang out.